Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
All tonight, happy. Amen. That's not the sermon though, Brother George. But it's okay to be happy. Hallelujah. We're going to talk tonight about growing up in God. I heard, felt some of y'all squirm when I said that. Because when you grow up in God, there's some things you got to put aside and put away. But God has got us on a path to growing up. It's been a long path, but it's a path that is going to continue to grow until Christ comes. Thank you for the amen. Ain't no one going to say I've arrived until Jesus comes. We're not going to get there until He comes. We're going to grow day by day. We're going to grow week by week. And we're going to grow year by year. But we're not going to grow and be exactly what He wants us to be until He gets there. We can strive for it as Paul did. But we can't be that until Christ comes and we go up into the rapture with Jesus. But let's go to God in prayer. Father, I want to thank You for this night. I thank You for my brethren that are here to hear Your word, Father God. Lord God, I pray that what You've given me for tonight, Father, would touch them, Father, would bless them, Father God, would strengthen them, would encourage them, Father God, and would shed some light, Father, into their life, Father God. And Lord, I just want to thank You for that, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to start there. I don't know how far we're going to get into this, but we're going to get into this. We're going to get into this tonight because God wants us to grow up, be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine, but He wants us to grow up into the head of the body, which is Christ Jesus. That's what God wants for us and for this congregation and for us as a body. He wants us to grow up and put away childish things and be done with earthly things. God wants us to be done with carnality and put on and be renewed in the spirit of our mind so we can grow. And we're going to get into that a little bit later, but God wants us to grow up. God wants us to quit making excuses of why we can't come together, and we're working towards that. And God wants us to quit making excuses of why we can't come to His house and why we can't come to church. I believe God's fed up. He gave us His Son. He sent His Son to die for us, bleed and hang and die on a cross, and was raised again on the third day. We can love Him because He first loved us. Hallelujah. And we have all these added blessings, all these benefits, but the most important is to have Him. The most important is, I talked a couple of weeks ago about a foundation, and somehow it's going to all tie in together with this sermon. I don't know exactly how, but somehow it's going to all tie in together. But 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire this sincere milk of the Word of God, that you may grow thereby. Now, we've all been coming to this ministry for quite some time, and we've all desired the sincere milk of the Word of God. We've all grown in Christ. We haven't come to that full age yet, I don't believe, but we're working towards that. We're striving for that. But we've desired the sincere milk of the Word of God. And if we have not desired that sincere milk, God would not have been able to change us, and we would not have been able to grow spiritually on the inside. We haven't grown physically on the outside, but we're growing spiritually on the inside. Our spirit man has been growing because we've been desiring His Word. And we can only grow by desiring the sincere milk Word of God. Then we'll get on into the meat. If you take a newborn baby and you give it a steak, and it's going to kill that baby because that steak's too thick for that baby. That baby needs milk to get it started in life. And as we got started on this highway to holiness, this walking with Jesus, this following Jesus, we had to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we can grow. And there have been many people that we've seen shipwrecked because they didn't desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. They desired to fall out. They desired to have holy laughter. They desired to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. But they didn't desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, because if they would have, they would have been set on a firm foundation. The Word of God is a lamp unto their feet and a light unto our path. It makes the crooked path straight, the Scripture says. It's important that we have and we let God grow through us through the Spirit of God. It's important that we desire everything that God has for us. We desire it and we want it, and we let God know that we want it so we can grow. We've got to grow, my brother and sister. We've got to grow up. I'm going to go ahead and share this. Growth spiritually. Fruitfulness, John 15, 2 through 5, increase, 2 Corinthians 9, 10, addition, 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 10, building up, Jude 20. Now, these are some hindrances for you not growing in your Christian growth. Lack of knowledge. The Bible says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. Acts 18, 24 to 28, carnality, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, instability. The Bible says in the book of James, a man that's unstable is all his ways. We've got to be stable. We've got to be steadfast, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We've got to get busy and get busy for His kingdom and put our kingdoms and our dreams and our responsibilities aside and get God's business first so we can grow. Dullness, Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. It's an interesting thing that there would be dullness in the book of Hebrews. Not only is the book of Hebrews a great faith chapter, but it's also a chapter, before they get to the great faith, a chapter of great defeat. But see, the women had to believe. They had to believe and have their dead raised unto them. They had to supersede some things. They had to look beyond the natural to be able to have their dead raised unto them again. And it's important that we grow. It's important that we grow and we desire the things of God in the Spirit of God. Without having the Spirit of God, the Bible says we're none of His. We've got to have God's Spirit, my brother and sister. We've got to have fruitfulness. We've got to let our fruit, we've got to be a fruit-bearing people. Every tree that's in Christ that does not bear fruit, Christ said He hewns down and casts it into the fire. He chops it down and casts it into the fire. So if you're not bearing fruit, I want to encourage you to hurry up and start bearing some. Repent and before you get thrown into the fire, before God takes your name and blots it out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, God doesn't do that. Well, I beg to differ. We'll go on. Increase. There'll always be an increase. You'll always have an increase of wanting more of the things of God, more of the Spirit of God. Your friends won't understand you. Some of your family members might not understand you. Your wife might not understand you. Your husband might not understand you because you want to grow with God and put away childish things and things that are foolishness. There are many things that are foolishness. I could go on and on, but I don't want to go there. I want to encourage you to let God in you, which is the hope of glory, so you can grow. You've got to grow. It's time to bring forth fruit meet for repentance. It is time, my brother and sister. I didn't know. I had some scriptures going on in my spirit, and I couldn't find them in the Word for nothing. I couldn't find them in the concordance for nothing. And I was getting a little aggravated, a little agitated, and I said, you know what? No. I shouldn't be getting agitated. I shouldn't be getting frustrated. So I put my Bible down, and I just walked around the house and said, okay, Lord, You're going to show it to me. You're going to show it to me. You're going to show it to me. I know it's in there. I know it's in there because it's going off in my spirit. And I began to look through the concordance again, and God showed it to me. And I said, oh, You're good, God. You're a gracious Heavenly Father. Flip over to 2 Peter chapter 3. God wants us to grow up into Him. God wants us to grow up, my brother and sister. We've got to grow up. Fruitfulness. Are you bearing any fruit? 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. I'm going to read 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace. I'm glad God put that there, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the knowledge of what? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It didn't say in the knowledge of faith doctrine. It didn't say in the knowledge of healing doctrine. Why? Because when you learn of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, all these things are going to follow. All these things are going to be added because you're learning of Him. He's told His disciples, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. And we've got to learn from Him. He's the greatest teacher that there ever will be. We've got some anointed men and women of God in these last days, but there will never be a greater teacher than Jesus. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the knowledge of Him. In the knowledge of the One that saved you. In the knowledge of the One that bled for you. In the knowledge of the One that died for you. In the knowledge of the One that rose again on the third day. In the knowledge of the One that baptized you in the Holy Ghost. In the knowledge of Him that gave you peace that passes all understanding. To grow in that knowledge. Grow in Him. God wants us to grow in Him. Not grow in a foundation. Not grow in a denomination. But grow in Him. There's a vast difference between man's denomination and God's ways. Our ways are not the Lord's ways, He tells us. His ways are not our ways. We need to learn His ways. Yes. We need to learn His ways. And I'm not going to go into God's way of doing things. God's ways are that steadfast. They're in the Scripture. They're plain. They don't mince words. They don't mince words. Turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians. I'm going to read this whole chapter from the King James and then from the Amplified because I want you to get some nuggets. And this is all I have, so hang on. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Thank God there's only one faith. Thank God there's only one Lord. Thank God that we can go and we can grow in grace, my brother and sister. If it wasn't for grace, none of us would be here. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all, be unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is the ultimate goal right there, my brother and sister, is to grow into that, to grow into the measure of the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. There is no greater calling. You can speak in tongues. You can lay your hands on the sick. But if you've not grown up into Him, into the fullness of that stature, you've got some growing to do. You've got some growing to do. We've all got some growing to do. That we henceforth be no more children. Listen, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. It's an amazing thing. Everywhere through this whole scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, you hear nothing but love. It has to be on the foundation of love. See, if we can't love our brother who we do see, the Bible says, we can't love God who we don't see. We've got to love our enemies, the scripture says. We've got to love those that hate us. We've got to do good to those that persecute us. It's an amazing thing that Jesus sat down and taught for 3 days and taught us some things that we need to go back to and we need to look at. Some things like, if a man smite thee on the cheek, give him the other one. Revile not again. These are basic Christian fundamentals that we need to return to, that we all struggle with. But God wants to give us the grace so we can grow up into Him, into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles. You know what? I'm going to do this. God will get me on judgment day if he does, but that's fine. Walk not as other Christians walk, because there's some Christians that walk carnal. And they walk in the flesh, and they don't walk in the Spirit. They do nothing but fulfill the lust of the flesh. They don't see when the good cometh, as it says in the book of Jeremiah. They're like the heath. They're like the drought. They don't see when good cometh. Everything's negative. Everything's dry. God wants to change that dry place into a wet place. God wants to water. God wants to bring you to watered gardens, my brother and sister. God wants you to grow up into Him who's the head of the body. Not up into your favorite pastor, your favorite teacher, your favorite evangelist, but into Him. It all hinges on Him, my brother and sister. Your walk with Christ is hinged on Him. If you love Him, you're going to want to read His Word. You're going to want to pray. You're going to want to come together and be with the brethren. If you love Him. I said if you love Him, you're going to want to do those things. It's old things pass away. Something happens to your heart. God did the first heart transplant when we accepted Him as Lord and Savior. Yeah. And He must be our Lord and then our Savior. We must give Him our whole heart, our everything, because He gave us His all. That's the least we could do. Amen. Having the understanding darkened, verse 18, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. See, there's people that are blind. See, the Bible says, don't let your heart be overcharged with servitude and drunkenness and the cares of this life that will choke the word. Who can ascend into the hill of the Lord but he that has clean hands and a pure heart? We want to go into God's presence. We want to go in. We want His glory, but we don't want our heart to get changed. We don't want to clean our heart. We don't want to forgive that brother that's offended us. We want to hold on to that bitterness. We want to hold on to that unforgiveness, and we want God to bless us, and God just simply won't. You can't hold on to bitterness and expect God to bless you. You can't hold on to unforgiveness and expect to grow the proper way. You've got to get off that ungodly foundation and get on the right one, my brother and sister. I'm going to say this, and I say it brokenhearted because this was a woman that had an anointing to sing, but because she became bitter, she died at an early age, and that was Sister Marlena, my brother and sister. She died at an early age only because of bitterness, my brother and sister. If the truth be known, it was bitterness. I'm not here to condemn. I'm not here to judge. But I'm saying bitterness will kill you, as the Scripture says. God is not mocked. That a man sows, he will also reap. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you sow to the flesh all week long, you're not going to come in here and feel God's presence and feel God's good pleasure for your life. You've got to crucify your flesh. You've got to crucify your members thereof. Nail it to the cross once and for all. And yes, it's going to raise back up and you're going to have to nail it again. But that's something about being on the King's highway. Though a righteous man fall 100 times, the Lord will raise him up, my brother and sister. The Lord will raise you up. If you're sincere, if you've got a heart that's hard after God, but you've got to have that heart. You've got to have that pure heart, that heart that David had, a perfect heart. That's what God wants from His children. He wants a perfect heart towards Him. Not towards things or what they can get from Him, but from Him, for Him and Him alone. Hallelujah. That you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How many times do we come home from work and we really need to go get renewed in the spirit of our minds? All of us. Every last one of us need to come home and get renewed in the spirit of our mind. Why? Because we've been out in that ungodly world. We've been vexed by the filthy conversation of the wicked. And we need to come home and be renewed in the spirit of our mind so we can think on things that are pure and lovely and of a good report. And think. The Bible says think only on these things. It doesn't say to think on the house you're going to get or when you're going to sell your house or what kind of car you're going to get. But it says to think on these things. Things that are lovely. Things that are good and of a good report. Hallelujah. God wants us to think on those things. And we're not going to grow in the correct way unless we do. And if you're not doing that, God wants you to correct it tonight. And that you put on the new man, which is after God. After God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, that you put on the new man. Which is after who? Which is after God the Father. It's created in what? Righteousness. Being right wise with God is what it means in the Greek. And true holiness. And that you put on the new man, my brother and sister. Put off the old man and put on the new, which is after God, which is created in righteousness. Get rid of your righteousness that you think and you're so holier than thou and you putting forth of the finger. Let's take away from amongst us the putting forth of the finger and let God do the cleaning. That doesn't mean we're not going to stand up against sin. We're going to stand up against it, but we're going to let God do the final judging. We can say they're in error. We can say they're wrong, but it's up to God's going to send them somewhere, not us. God's the final judge. We can judge right from wrong, but I can't tell Brother Mike he's going to hell. That's the truth. Wherefore put away lying. Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. We're members of one another. That means when I'm down, we should, and you're down, we should have such a closeness that we sense it in the Spirit. Even if we're not side by side, even if I'm not looking at you, even if I'm at my house, we should have such a knitness here, such a closeness here, because we're of one another, that the Lord can speak to my heart and say, hey, you need to call Brother Willie. He needs encouragement. That's what God wants us to do, is to grow together, fitly joined together. That's what that means, a tight niche. That's exactly what it means, my brother and sister. For we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not. That's a mouthful in itself. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Don't let 12 hours go down if you and your brother have had words. Go and repent. Even if you've got to do the repenting, it's better to be right with God than you to always apologize than to be wrong with God. Thank you for the amen. It's better that you go wash the feet so you're right with God. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may live to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. How many times do we grieve the Spirit of God without realizing it, without knowing it, because we're human, and because we haven't renewed the spirit of our mind? Because when our mind's renewed in God's Spirit and God's grace, we won't grieve the Holy Spirit, because we'll be listening to the Holy Spirit on what to do and what not to do. Amen. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Let all bitterness... here we go. We're going to get it right here in the neck. God's Word's going to give it to us. It's His Word, not mine. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another. We kind one to another. We've grown, hallelujah. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We've got to forgive one another. And the Bible says in Proverbs to be quick to repent. See, we got to be quick to repent. Even if we don't feel we need to, even if we've been done wrong, we've got to be quick to repent. I remember going through a situation. It was my own doings. It was my own folly. It was my own sin. And I was in the midst of a great storm because of my own stupidity. And I remember sitting somewhere and all havoc breaking loose. And the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, hold your peace. Don't say a word. And I didn't say a word. People were asking me all kinds of questions, all kinds of things. And I would not speak. All I did was ask if I could leave, and I left, and I went home, and I got on my face, and I asked God to forgive me. I asked God to help me. What do I need to do to make it right? And I went to these people and washed their feet. And I'm not saying this. I'm just using this as an illustration. And I washed their feet. And even see, at that point, when you get down and you humble yourself before God and you wash their feet, it doesn't matter whether they forgive you or not, my brother and sister, because you're right with God. See, it doesn't matter if they forgive you or not, because as long as you're right with God, there isn't anything they can do to hinder you. There isn't anything they can do to stop God's favor from being upon you when you get right with God. And so I washed their feet. I did what the Lord told me to do. And I felt so good. I felt so clean. And I just left it at that. And that's just how I left it. And I went about my Christian walk, and God taught me a great lesson. Whew, thank God he taught me and didn't strike me down. I mean, some of us, we think that we're God or something. Somebody, you know, people do something wrong and we want to crucify them and kill them and strangle them and all sorts of things because they're not walking, you know, the way we think that they should be walking. Well, we're not God and we're not the Lord Jesus Christ. And God knows how to get a hold of his children, just like you did when your children were in your house. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, God wants us to grow up. The Bible says in Romans, okay, maybe we won't go there just yet. See, God wants us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. He wants us to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He wants us to put off the old man and put on the new man, which is in Christ Jesus. Maybe God wants me to turn to it. Hallelujah. Yep, He wants me to turn to it. I beseech you therefore by the brethren, Romans chapter 12, by the mercies of God. This is our duty, my brother and sister. As a Christian, this is what we should be doing. That, brethren, you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Everybody's wanting the perfect will of God. Everybody wants to know God's will. See, well, nobody can know God's will unless they first get renewed in the spirit of their mind. They get away from the television. They get away from all the televangelists. They get away from all those things, and they get along with God. See, some things only God can deliver you from, my brother and sister. There are places you can't, your wife can't go with you, and there are places your husband can't go with you. There are valleys that only you and God can walk through, because He wants to teach you some precious things, and He wants to make your feet like hinds feet, my brother and sister. And He wants you to grow up into Him who is the head of all principalities, my brother and sister. He wants you to grow into the measure of the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. And He's given you the grace to do it. See, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, my brother and sister. And it's important that we take that grace. Oh, grace so amazing, that we take that grace and we let that grace teach us. We let that grace change us. We let that grace just lead us into His everlasting arms, because it's grace that takes us there. Because in our own sin nature, in our own self, we can't go into the presence of God without the blood of Jesus. But thank God, the blood of Jesus, to those of us that are in here, has been sprinkled upon our hearts, and we can go into to that mercy seat. We can go into the Holy of Holies. We can go into behind the veil, and that's where God wants us to take us. But we can't do it without being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Why? Because we'll get to praying, and all of a sudden these thoughts will come in our head. And oh, don't think the enemy's not going to attack us and try to do everything he can to stop us from getting renewed in the spirit of our mind. We'll get to going and reading our Bible, and the phone will ring, and the kids will start fighting, and all kinds of havoc is going to break loose. But God wants you to understand one thing, that it's time to get renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's time to let God be true and every man a liar. It's time to bring forth fruit meet for repentance. It's time that we do those things that we ought to be doing as Christians and as believers and as children of the Most High God. It's time that we beseech ourselves and be, by the mercies of God, present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That's our duty, my brother and sister. We want to see God move. And with, the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So God wants us to not only get holy, God not only wants us to get renewed in the spirit of our mind, because unless we first get renewed in the spirit of our mind, we ain't going to want nothing to do with holiness. We ain't going to want nothing to do with God's Word. Why? Because man's ways are not God's ways. God's ways are so far above man's ways. Man looks at, I mean, you take a look at how the priest goes down to anoint the sons of how the priest goes down to anoint King David, and he looks at the elder brother and thinks that that's a fitly king, but God says no. See, that's man's wisdom, that's man's devices, that's man thinking. But God thinks differently. Man looketh on the outward appearance. God looketh upon the heart, my brother and sister. And those of you that got a heart to follow after God, and most of you in here do, those of you that want to serve God with all your heart, God's going to begin to put a fire on the inside of you. God's going to begin to stir some things in you that he put there. God's going to begin to, and you know what? There's something that you have to do. You have to stir up the gift of God that is within in you, my brother and sister. It's like a fire. You take a fire that's burning down and you begin to stir the coals, and all of a sudden you put a fresh piece of wood on that fire, and it begins to come back and it begins to burn. And we kind of let some things fade out, such as praying and stuff, but so those things are going to begin to burn again. Those things are going to begin to burn again. And when they begin to burn again, we're going to see mighty manifestations of God's Spirit and power. We're going to see mighty manifestations of God's Spirit and power. I'm telling you, God told us this morning to expect great things from Him. He's going to do some things that are going to shock us and going to rock our world, my brother and sister. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And above Him there is no other. He is the Lord God that healeth us. I am the Lord thy God. Tell Him that I am sent you, Moses. Who do I say sent me, Lord? Tell Him that I am sent you. It's an amazing thing when they went to get Jesus and He said, "Are you Him?" And He said, "I am." The soldiers fell back because the very God spoke the very same thing. I am. I am He that was dead and now is alive. Glory be to God. We're talking about Jesus, the only true and living God, the only one that was crucified, buried, dead, rose again on the third day. He walks to Lazarus' tomb and He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Glory be to God. Why? Because He's Jesus. Because He's God. Hallelujah. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we owe Him our life, my brother and sister. We owe Him our everything. We owe Him our everything. If He tells us to get rid of some stinky, flaky movies in our homes, we need to get rid of them. Whatever He tells you to do, that's what you need to do. I'm not here to put a chip on anybody, but whatever God tells you to do, that's what you need to do. Obedience, the Bible says, is better than sacrifice. Obedience than that of the fat of rams. I mean, you know, when your kids were in your house and they weren't obedient and you spanked them, I mean, you know, God's going to do the same to us as His children. When we're not obedient, I mean, if we're His son, every son in Him, He chastens. Everyone that's not's a bastard. And believe me, I've been chastened many times by the Lord. It's not a pleasant thing at the time, but you know what? I'm glad that He did it because He kept me on the straight and narrow. He kept me on that path of righteousness. And without Him doing it, many of us would have turned back. It turned back into sin and turned back to this world. But thank God He chastened us. Thank God He whipped us. Thank God that He kept us on the King's highway. Thank God that He kept us on the straight and narrow. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, the Scripture says. See, we've got to grow up, my brother and sister. The childish, foolish excuses that we've played with for the past 5 and 10 years are no more in effect for God's kingdom in these last days. God's looking for those that are going to get radical. God's looking for those that are going to get so radical for Him. It doesn't matter if they don't eat supper, they come to prayer meeting. Glory be to God. Whatever it takes. See, we need to kind of get like Job and learn some things and not worry about our fleshly man, but worry about our spirit man. We feed this thing too many times and don't feed our spirit man enough. We go to buffets and I'm just as guilty as y'all are, and we love the buffets, but it's time that we buffet on the Word of God and the things of God and the Spirit of God, and we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, building up ourselves on our most holy faith that we might grow thereby, my brother and sister. God wants us to grow in the things of God, in the things of the Spirit, and we can't grow unless we come together and pray in the Holy Ghost. That's the only way we're going to grow thereby, with the things of the Spirit. We're spirit led or we're flesh led. We're spirit led or we're carnally led. My brother and sister, which one are you? Which one are you? Are you the Christian that's got to go to the comic club? Are you the Christian that's got to have your friend's approval? Or are you the Christian that needs nothing but God and God alone? I had to go to a reset and everybody's talking, and I didn't share this with my wife because I got to save some things for when I minister. I had a reset to go to, and I'm standing there, and I said hi to a couple people I knew, and I'm just standing there, and they're talking, and I just felt out of place. Maybe you understand it, maybe you don't, but I'm just not meant to be around those people. So I just walked off by myself, and I was praying, and I was asking the Lord for His strength, because I had to go in at 5 o'clock that morning, go home, get a nap, and then get up and go work 5 p.m. to midnight. So I was just asking God for His strength, and I just felt out of place. I can't explain it other than I felt out of place. I didn't feel like I belonged there. I felt like a stranger and a pilgrim in a strange land. I felt like that's exactly what I felt like. I felt like a stranger and a pilgrim. See, we're not of this world, my brother and sister. We're of another. We're of another world. We're of a world that surpasses this world. The world we're going to is lighted by the King of Glory. The world we're going to is going to have streets of gold. The world we're going to, my brother and sister, the lion's going to lay down with the lamb, and the children's going to play with an asp. Glory be to God. That's where we're going, my brother and sister. That's the world we're going to. We're going to where Jesus, He says, I go to prepare a place for you. If it wasn't so, I wouldn't tell you, but I go to prepare a place for you. He's in there now preparing that place. He's preparing your mansion, because your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if you can endure to the end, the same shall be saved, but you've got to endure to the end. See, there's no more time for this 6 weeks in and 6 weeks out. God's looking for some endurance from His people. God's looking for some endurance from His people. God's looking for some endurance from His people. Some endurance that no matter what the devil throws at them, they don't bow their knee to Baal. They don't bow to this world system or anything like it, but they look up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith, and they let Him teach them through every circumstance, through everything. He teaches us His ways. Everything that happens to you and in your life, God will use it to teach you a vital lesson if you allow Him. God will teach you a lesson if you allow Him. If you're going through something and you're brokenhearted, God can take that brokenness and turn it into joy. There's something about when you're broken before the Lord, God's able to work and move and mold and shape the way He wants to, like He can't any other way, until you become broken. And I believe God is going to take us to some brokenness stages in our life, broken for the lost, and broken for our lost loved ones, and broken for one another. That when one of us is sick, we're broken, because we know that God wants to heal them. Glory be to God, because He says in His words, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And it's an amazing thing that we talk about salvation as much as we do, and we don't talk enough about healing. But yet when we get saved, we have all those benefits and we have all those things. I believe we need to talk just as much about healing as we do salvation. Although salvation is greater. Salvation is greater. I'm not knocking salvation. But I'm telling you right now, healing is a benefit of the child of God. And we've seen too many people die too early because we haven't been renewed in the spirit of our mind. We haven't walked with God like He wants us to walk. We haven't been that man or that woman that God's called us to be. And there are some instances where it's the person's own doing, because they've held on to bitterness or they've held on to resentment. But just maybe God wants to take you and let you lay your hands on somebody and see the sick recover. Because Jesus did say, the works I do, you shall do, and even greater. Yes, that means Patty can lay hands on the sick and then recover. Ruth can lay hands on the sick and then recover. George and Terry can lay hands on the sick and then recover, because that's God's Word. And that's exactly what I expect to see. I expect to see God do the supernatural in this place. He said He's going to do great and mighty things which we know not. And it's time that we start expecting Him, my brother and sister. It's time that we start expecting, not demanding Him, but expecting Him. I mean, if you were expecting a check in the mail and it finally came, you would go cash that check because you were expecting it. God gave us a check in healing. God gave us a check in deliverance. God gave us a check in peace. And we need to cash those checks, my brother and sister. We need to cash them. We need to get renewed in the spirit of our mind. We need to let God take us where He wants to take us in His Word. Let Him teach us the things that He wants to teach us. And let God change us like only He can change us. Like only He can change us. Fruitfulness, increase, addition, building up. Those are things that can help you grow spiritually. Here's some hindrances, my brother and sister. Lack of knowledge, carnality, always walking in the flesh. Always, you know, you're walking in the flesh, you're not reading your Bible, you're not praying, you're not being renewed in the spirit of your mind, because you're busy, the cares of this life have come in, you're worn out, you're tired. And see, the Bible said, our enemy knows He has but a short time, and it says that He's going to try to wear the saints down in the last days, and that's exactly what He's trying to do. That's why the Lord has brought us the teachings that He's brought us, as the joy of the Lord being your strength, because our God knew His strategy, and our God is the greatest strategy breaker there will ever be. God knows everything. He has everything right, neatly fit in place where He wants it for every time, for every season, for everything in your life. God has it placed on the inside of you. You've just got to tap into it, my brother and sister. You've just got to tap into it. And maybe you need to fast a little bit. Maybe you need to pray a little. Maybe we all need to fast a little bit more. Amen. I mean, you know, the disciples went to Jesus and said, Jesus, why couldn't we do those things? And He said, these things goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. See, that scripture is twofold. See, it's fasting for your own benefit, to crucify your flesh, and it's fasting to be dedicated to God so that you might loose the bands of wickedness, so that you might loose those that are bound, my brother and sister. See, it's twofold. See, when Jesus came out of the wilderness, He stepped to the pulpit, He rolled the scroll, and He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He hath anointed me to set the captive free." And that same Spirit that was in Jesus is upon you and me. That's the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in us. He'll also quicken our mortal body, my brother and sister. And it's time that we take God at His word. And it's time that we let God teach us. And it's time that it doesn't matter what anybody else does as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I'm going to believe His report. You can ask my wife when she's going through something. I give her what the word says. I do it in love. I do it in grace. And I say, honey, I know this is what you have to walk through. But you know I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. You've got to walk through it. You've got to let God bring you through it. But I'm going to tell you what the word says, because it's the only thing I've got to trust in, because I believe the day is coming, my brother and sister, when we're not going to be able to afford health insurance, and we're going to have to trust the true and the living God. We're going to have to trust in Alpha Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. We're going to have to trust Him with everything that's in our life. We're going to have to learn to trust Him. And oh, it's shaky for us. Yes, I know, because we've been so prone and so taught our whole life to go to the doctor, to trust in the doctor. And yet it's an amazing thing that we haven't been taught to trust in our God. We've been taught to trust in doctors and go to doctors, and you should go get a physical, but when you get that bad report, you've got to trust in your God to deliver you. He said, "I'm a deliverer." Amen. You've got to trust in Him to deliver you. It's an amazing thing. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That was pretty good, even if I did say it. We've been taught to trust in man. We need to be taught to trust in God that raises the dead. Hallelujah. We need to be taught that no matter what, our life's in God's hands. And we've got to get a tenacity and a boldness that says no weapon that is formed against us is going to prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. We've got to get a boldness. We've got to declare. See, Peter and John were bold. Why? Because they've been with Jesus. So if we're lacking a little boldness, we ain't been with Jesus enough. All of us, me included, we haven't been with Jesus enough, because we ain't pretty bold when somebody says they've got a tumor or anything. We kind of back away or something like that. Oh, really? Well, praise God. We're going to be praying for you, brother. See, Peter and John's a little bit different. See, they went and they laid hands and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I you in the name of Jesus." Why? Because they were with the Master. They were with the Master. And it's time that we make that time to get with the Master. When you're with the Master, He puts His touch on you. And when He puts His touch on you, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you go. You take Him with you. You take His fragrance. You take His Spirit. You take His peace. I was working in Zephyr Hills, and there was this lady that would come in. And every time I heard her come in, I would walk over to her on purpose, because I wanted that devil to know, as long as I'm in that store, he's not talking and he's not saying a word, because she was demon possessed. I mean, she crowed like a black crow. I'm not kidding you. She'd go, "Ah, ah, ah," every time she came in the store. And finally, I'd been there about a month, and I finally got tired of it. And I says, "You know what? I'm tired of this." And I walked over beside her, and I acted like I was working on something. I go, "I plead the blood of Jesus. You can hold your peace in Jesus." I didn't do it loudly. I just did it discreetly. "You hold your peace in Jesus' name as long as I'm God's ambassador." We need to get a tenacity and a boldness. We're God's children. We're God's ambassadors. We're God's servants. We're His sons and daughters of the Most High God. And if we need to quit trusting our natural father so much and trust our heavenly Father, glory be to God. That doesn't mean we don't respect our parents, we don't honor them, but we need to look to God more so than anything else in our life. We instead of calling our dads for advice, we need to call our heavenly Father. and be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And instead of calling your best friend and getting advice, you need to call your Heavenly Father. We used to sing the song, "Call Him Up, Call Him Up." And I don't remember the rest of it, but you get the gist of it. You get the gist of it. But you know, we need to trust in God. We need to trust in God who raises the dead. God wants to do so many supernatural things. And as long as we can believe Him, He's going to do it. We don't want to be like the children of Israel who turned back and limited the Holy One of Israel. We want to be so wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus that these signs follow them that believe. Glory be to God. And it's time that we start seeing some of those signs, my brother and sister. It's time that we see them. Why? We're believers, aren't we?
Yeah.
Are we believers?
Yeah.
Then we need to start seeing some of these signs. We need to start seeing some of these signs follow us. When your son gets a headache, go pray for him. Glory be to God.
Yeah.
Go pray for him. You say you want to see miracles, well, go pray for him. Your husband gets a headache, go pray for him. Your wife gets a headache, go pray for her. Throw the aspirin in the garbage and go pray for her. Because I know we're tempted after we pray. Come on now. We pray and then that headache don't go away right away, so we go take the aspirin. We don't give God a chance to heal us. We go take that aspirin because that's the quick fix. We're so prone to a quick fix. God's ways are not our ways. We're so prone to that quick fix. I mean, we got McDonald's quick fix. Get it in and out through drive-thrus. You know, quick fix. We got microwave meals these days. Quick fix. See, we get our heart right. And it's tender and it's soft. It's pliable for the Lord. You just want to go over and hug your brother because Jesus is in him. You just want to go and even hug your wife because Jesus is in her too. And hug your husband because Jesus is in him too. See, God wants us to get fitly joined together. God, see, we're in this thing together, my brother and sister. The hand doesn't say to the foot, "I don't need you." One can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. And just imagine when we get into the unity of the Spirit, the anointing that is going to be present, oh my God, it is going to be so spectacular. We're not going to be able to put words on it, the things that God is going to do. The things that God is going to do when we all come together and we get into that unity. We're working towards that unity, my brother and sister. We're working towards that. God wants to take us there. God wants to take us there by His Spirit. God wants to take us there. And He can only do it if we have willing hearts and open ears. Open ears. Your ear down here. I'm not talking about your ears up here. I'm talking about your spirit ear. You've got a spirit here that's been desensitized because of the cares of this life. And God wants to resensitize it to His Spirit. God wants to resensitize it. God wants you to have that boldness that you used to have. That even though you were afraid to pray, when you prayed you saw the hand of God move. Remember those days? I do. Remember those days when you were so frightful to pray, but when you did it because God told you to do it, and God was teaching you and leading you so He could start using you in the gifts of the Spirit. It began when He told you to go pray for somebody, and you went and prayed for that person, and you prayed for them, and there was a change in their life. They were healed, and now you saw God working in that person, and you go, "Wow, God actually used me," and you were awestruck by it. It was an amazing thing, and how we walk with Jesus a little while and things just become old hat, and God wants to take the old hat and make it new. Glory be to God. He wants you to go back and say, "The things of God are awesome. The things of God are awesome. The things of God are awesome." See, God wants you to get back that tenacity of being used by Him. Being used by Him is such a holy thing. It's such an honorable thing, my brother and sister. We don't need to lose the preciousness of that. When we're up here ministering in song, it's a precious and holy thing. It's not, if it's a duty, sit down and let the joy of the Lord become your strength, because I don't want you to hinder the flow of God's Spirit. If it's becoming a job, sit down in the audience and let God refresh you. It's okay, my brother and sister. Too many people have left this church because instead of leaving the church, they should have just sat down and let the joy of the Lord become their street and let the Word of God minister to them instead of them just leaving. But oh no, they've got a word, quote unquote, from the Lord, and they just had to leave because that's what the Spirit of God, quote unquote, was telling them. Well, I'm going to beg to differ, my brother and sister, because if the Spirit of God told them to leave, they would be bearing fruit. They wouldn't be backslid. They wouldn't be struggling with their flesh. They would be on fire for Jesus. They would be flourishing like the day palm. Their ministry would be prospering, would be flourishing. Hallelujah. It would be growing. They would be touching and impacting lives instead of being stagnant and don't really know where to go, don't really know where to turn. Right. Too many people have left to go to, and hey, there's grander churches. That's okay. We can accept that. There's grander churches. I'm not ashamed to say that. But our day is coming. Our day is a coming. Our day is a coming. And it's not going to be grand because of what we do. It's going to be grand because of what He does. See, it's going to be grand because of what God does. Ain't going to be anything we do. Flesh ain't in this ministry. That's why we're different. That's why we're unique. That's why we stay till almost 2 o'clock in the afternoon and have 4:30 prayer meeting and have Sunday night service when most churches don't. Because we're unique. And God wants us to stay that way. Because we're a special people unto Him. We're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, holy unto the Lord. And He wants us to stay that way. He wants us to stay that way, my brother and sister. He wants us to stay holy. Holy is the Lord, God of Israel. And if we want to see a move, we need to get back to some basics and put off malice and put off wrath and put off envy and let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth so we can grow. We can grow in God's grace. We can grow in God's wisdom. We don't have to be destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. We'll learn the craftiness and cunning devices of our enemy, and we'll learn that that old dog don't hunt no more and that fish ain't a bite no more because Jesus is satisfying the deepest longings of our soul. We need to get rid of the attitude of We need to get rid of the Judas attitude of what's in it for me. Boy, it got quiet in here all of a sudden. We need to get rid of the Judas attitude. What's in it for me? You going to sell Him out, my brother and sister? You going to sell your soul? You going to sell your soul that cheap? For this world. My. God wants us to grow up. God wants us to grow up, and He's calling us to grow up, or He wouldn't have gave me this message. I don't know why He chose me, my brother and sister. I guess He chose me because He knew I'd have the guts to bring it, to speak His word. Believe me, I tremble and I shake and I quake and I have to pray to God. God, give me the strength to say it, because most of you saw my childhood and saw some of the crazy things I did and saw some of the stupid things I did and saw some of the times I drove too fast and used to tell me, and I was so young and dumb and headstrong that I didn't want to listen. But you know what? I'm getting a little older and I'm getting a little wiser, not much, but just a little bit. And now I see that if I could have listened back then, I could have saved myself some heartache and some tickets and some wrecks. See, wisdom teaches you those things. Knowledge is powerful, but we don't want to get so much knowledge that it begins to puff up in pride. See, God wants us to have that balance of where we have the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of man. But it's the wisdom of God that He wants us to have, my brother and sister. Not the wisdom of a denomination or your best friend, but God's wisdom. Psalms 1, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the seat of sinners. But I done messed it up, but that's okay. We can't walk in the counsel of the wicked and expect God to bless us. See, God says, come, let us reason together. Come, let us reason together. God wants to reason with us. God wants to reason with us. God wants to tell us a thing or two. God wants to tell us where we're missing it so we can fix it. God can fix anything, but we have to allow Him to fix it. We've just like you got to allow that mechanic and trust that mechanic to work on your car, you've got to allow God and the Holy Spirit to work in on the inside of you to be able to fix everything that's wrong. And there are things that are wrong. Don't act like you're so sanctimonious, so pious that you've got everything together. Because none of us do. And we're all saved by grace. We're all in this thing together. And we all need one another. Would you please stand? In closing, I'm going to read it out of here. Because there's some things in here that are brought out. I'm a KJV man. Most of you know that. But sometimes I like the Amplified. I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. Living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind, humility and meekness, unselfishness. This is why I wanted to read it out of the Amplified. Gentleness, mildness, with patience, bearing with one another, and making allowances, being patient with one another, because you love one another. Be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as there is also one hope that belongs to the calling you received. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all, sovereign of all, pervading all and living in us all. Yet grace, God's unmerited favor, was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately, but in different ways, in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and bounteous gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. He led a train of vanquished foes, and he bestowed gifts on men. But he ascended now. What can this he ascended mean but that he previously descended from the heights of heaven into the depths of the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the very same as he who also ascended high above all the heavens, that he, his presence might fill all things, the whole universe, from the lowest to the highest. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospels, traveling ministers, some pastors, shepherds of his flock and teachers. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of the ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood. See, God wants us to mature as men and women in Him and put away childish things and just stop it. The completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and the completeness found in Him. So then we may no longer be children tossed like ships to and fro between chance gusts of teaching and wavering with every changing wind of doctrine, the prey of the cunning and cleverness of unscrupulous men, gamblers engaged in every shifting form of trickery in inventing errors to mislead. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things, speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love. Let us grow up in every way and in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. For because of Him, the whole body, the church, and in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part with power adapted to its need is working properly in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. It's an amazing thing that we can only build this thing up on love. So this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord, as in His presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen, the Gentiles, do in their perverseness, in the folly, vanity, and emptiness of their souls, and the futility of their minds. Their moral understanding is darkened, and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, self-banished from the life of God, with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge, of perception, the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them. You ever wonder why some people just can't turn things around and get right with God? Because it's deep-seated in them, my brother and sister, due to the hardness of their heart. Not anything God's done or that we've done, but due to the hardness of heart, to the insensitiveness of their moral nature. In their spiritual apathy, they have become callous and past-feeling and reckless, and have abandoned themselves a prey to unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity that their depraved desires may suggest and demand. But you did not so learn Christ, assuming that you have really heard Him and been taught by Him, as all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in Him. Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old, unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion, and be constantly renewed in the Spirit. Constantly. See, it's an everyday thing we got to be renewed. Every hour thing we got to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Fresh mental, spiritual attitude. That means when you come home from work and you're tired, you're wore out, you need to go get that fresh spiritual attitude. And we all need to do it and put on the new nature, the regenerate self, the one where the joy comes from the inside, glory be to God, created in God's image, God-like, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, rejecting all falsity and being done now with it, let everyone express the truth with his neighbor, for we are all parts of one body and members of one another. When angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your aspiration, your fury, or indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil, to give no opportunity to him. Let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others. Whew, that's a mouthful. As it is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden Him, by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, of final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, I spit in that one, and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language, be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind, and become useful. And helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. I wanted to read it in the Amplified because it brings some things out. Just some things. I just personally like it. You don't have to, but I liked it. Anybody need prayer? Because we're going to the house. Anybody need prayer? Nobody needs prayer. Hallelujah. Doug, give us a worship song so God can seed this in them and seed this in your heart. Father, I want to thank you for this man that Clarence knows, Father God. I just ask, Father, that you move by your Spirit, that you bring him to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, Father. Father, we plead the blood over him, and we claim his soul for the gospel of Jesus Christ, Father God. And Lord, I just ask that you're the deliverer. You're the soul setter free, Father God. Lord, send somebody across this man's path to show him and share the gospel with him, Father God. Lord, because you change every heart, Father God. You're the God that does the impossible, Father God. And Lord, I pray that you move upon this man, that you send the Holy Spirit to convict this man, Father. No man can come to you, Father, unless the Spirit draws them, Father. And Lord, we ask that you draw him by your Spirit, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.